This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atatula hanging out with you on a Tuesday. It's become a Taco Tuesday.
Or has it?
Thanks to some fine folk from, oh man, I got to make sure I get the restaurant right.
Via Rosa?
I believe so. Yeah. I believe so. So thanks to them coming out, hanging out with us for a moment. Thanks to B. Scott for giving us an hour, fantastic hour, in fact. We mentioned the baseball game, the World Series. It seems like there are people that are excited for the Dodgers, if for no other reason, to make sure that B. Scott is happy. That's how much people love our guy, B. Scott. We appreciate him as well. We're also, they're going with the bullpen game tonight.
Yeah, we were talking about that off air, and, you know, we don't necessarily have to dig in on all the nuts and bolts of the World Series. It just doesn't feel right. World Series, you know, you got a clinching game. I want to see a stud pitcher out there, you know, go 7, 8, who knows, 9 innings. It wasn't that long ago where you had guys pitching on 3 days rest regularly in the postseason.
The last time the Dodgers had a complete game or a shutout was Oral Hershiser, complete game shutout.
Yeah.
So, 88, right? Like, that's wild. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Let's get back to the team locally that really matters, which is the Houston Texans. They are headed to New York tomorrow is when they travel. Like, it's that quick of a turnaround, as they will be playing Halloween night, Thursday night football at MetLife Stadium versus the Jets. In fact, I will be watching that game at the Buffalo Wild Wings in spring, courtesy of Bud Light. And Bud Light is giving out 2 tickets to the Detroit game as well, so you can win those by coming out and hanging out with me. Plus, opportunity to win a signed Nico Collins jersey, the boogeyman himself.
Right. Sounds good.
So, yeah, you should probably come out and hang out with me. And if you don't care about me that much, I know you care about Nico Collins.
And tickets.
So, yeah, come see your
That's
boy.
That's going to be a crazy game, too, man.
I'm sure it will. And I can't guarantee that I'll give you an extra chance to win if you wear a costume, but I don't know. Can't hurt. Let's talk more about these Texans, though, because, you know, that's Thursday. Then after Thursday comes Tuesday, November 5th, which is a big day for multiple reasons.
It's a very important day in America.
Very important
because day. Because it's NFL trade deadline.
There
might be something else going on that day.
Also might want to get out and vote. maybe get that done early voting as well, because I went and voted yesterday. Line was long, but not long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was doable.
Line was long, but it was doable because, you know, early voting. I can only imagine you're going to spend your whole day voting on Tuesday. And also, you'll miss trade deadline stuff. So get that done early, and then we can lock in on the trade deadline. I'm talking to Nick Caserio right now because with this Texans team, there are some questions as to if they make some things happen, what are they going to do? So when it comes down to this, how do you view these Texans? First of all, do you think that it's likely or not that they make a deal by next Tuesday?
All right, so that's a great way to put it. My gut tells me they're going to do something. It's Nick Caserio. He likes to, and it's not even really margins. He doesn't work in the margins. Maybe some people would define it that way. But he works the smart value deals, you know, and maybe you can call that margins. I don't know. But like a good value deal out there. So does that mean wide receiver? Some people might argue that. I go back and forth. You know, we're not going to have that necessarily wide receiver discussion. But it could be on the table.
It's interesting because I think people have talked about this possibly, and if you can give me a cut 7 here from Nick Caserio talking on Texans All Access, another one of those great, great useful tools to get an insight into what these Texans are talking about. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. This was him talking about these wide receivers. No, not the ones up top, but these guys like Mechie and Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And their importance to this team.
Yeah, a number of skill players kind of had a contribution there. I mean, Cade had a catch. Dalton had a productive day. So offensive football, you're eventually going to need all your skill players. So it just creates more opportunity for other players. So, I mean, Hutch has kind of done this really like his whole career to this point. Anytime he's kind of been called upon, he usually makes a play. Yep. Had a third down catch here against Green Bay. different, but similar circumstances to the play the other day. The Mets had a good play there the other day. So whoever's available, we're counting them to go out there and do their job. If there's things that we can do, maybe you tilt some calls or do a few things a little bit different that are more conducive to those players. So Tank took advantage of some opportunities the other day. So we felt we had pretty good depth in that group. Certainly all your depth is tested at some point during the year. So it'll be a big challenge this week going against the Jets defense in their secondary, but whoever we have in the building, so whatever the best options are for that week, then we'll evaluate those and try to get them ready to go.
Whoever's available, go out there and do your job.
Yeah, it sounds like he's saying we're good, right? It sounds like that.
It does, and I don't believe it
100%.
I don't put it past him to see. However, you've used a lot of capital in that wide receiver room. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just went and used an additional second round pick to go and get Stephon Diggs. I understand that. However, with Nico Collins potentially returning, mm-hmm. you have a wide receiver group of Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and then also having Hutchinson, Mechie, mm-hmm. both of those guys who showed well in the limited period. Woods, even, yes, a veteran guy who have showed well in periods during the course of the season. I think you give them more opportunity. Like, that's the reason why you have this depth. I think that it probably doesn't make sense to then use whatever cap space that you have and potentially into the future mm-hmm. to then add another guy just for the top end of this, when I think that also the top end of your wide receiver room outside of Nico Collins hasn't really exploded in that way anyways. That has not been what has carried you anyway.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you, but I don't think it's off the table. And part of it is, how much are they going to read into, hey, Tank Dell kind of thrived when he had to be counted upon?
It feels like that's important.
Right? Yeah.
Feels notable.
So I would.
And Dalton Schultz. Plus, you think about it, has there been a game this season where more than three guys have really gotten their rocks off?
Not a lot. Not a lot. But I would say, I would lean that way, but I don't think it's off the table. What I do think, as I'm looking at 1 week from the trade deadline, 1 week from today, I feel like they're going to do something. And I also feel like sometimes you don't necessarily react to what other teams are doing, but it gets your attention. The Chiefs have made two trades. They've acquired two players already.
Josh Uche and Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
The Bills have made a move, and it's not in the AFC, but contending teams, they were talking to Dan Campbell about it yesterday. That dude was literally hopping up and down. Yeah, it might happen. Yeah, we might. Yeah, we might make a deal. So it's not like you're reacting to what other teams are doing, but you understand that if you are, quote, going for it, this is what a team going for it does.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Wide receiver wouldn't be the place. All right, so let's come mm-hmm. back around. We've done this before, but now that we're closer to this, we're in that real mode and in that window. Mm-hmm. Power rank the needs.
I think, obviously, offensive line. I think, more specifically, guard. Now, you and I have talked about, well, you can't just go to the guard store and get, you know, pick your favorite. You know?
It's not frequent that an offensive lineman is just readily available. One that is worth a damn at the very least, with all due respect to all these guys that get out here and make this their livelihood. Like, one that you feel comfortable getting out there and starting is not going to be readily available. That is one of those places where there is not an abundance of the talented players that you want. Especially making a move in the middle of the season. Yeah. That being said, like the last time I remember, the one that comes to mind when I'm thinking about an offensive lineman that is really worth their salt that was traded for, Trent Williams, he was moved for. Laremy Tunsil, I honestly have forgotten that you got him in the midst of a season. Mm-hmm. We don't have to get into that one in depth, but like it just doesn't happen all that frequently. However, it does seem like there has been some talk around a particular lineman, a mm-hmm. guard even, that might be available, and that piqued my interest. And funny enough, I think it piqued yours as well.
Yeah, independent of each other, we came up with the same name, which is interesting in itself. But like, just because there isn't necessarily a guard store, doesn't mean they're not available. And the one I was looking at that you were looking at is Daniel Brunskill from the Tennessee Titans.
And there is the thing that I think could slow this up in some ways.
However,
okay,
as Stephen A. would say, played for the 49ers. He is
System fit.
D'Amico Ryans is very familiar with his work. Bobby Slowick is very familiar with his work. I think this is just his first year with the Tennessee. He played somewhere else in between, but he was with the 49ers in 20 and 21. He's a guy that has started a lot of games in the NFL and has kind of been replaced in Tennessee, or at least not started as many games. But he's a guy that plays all up and down the offensive line. Available. The Titans clearly are making him available because the Bears reportedly have expressed some interest, or there's a report or something.
Correct.
That he might be on. This is Nick Caserio's wheelhouse, baby. An offensive lineman that fits your scheme, that the offensive coordinator and the head coach is familiar with, that knows the system, that has started in this league, but maybe for whatever reason isn't necessarily starting right now for an awful team. Now, you mentioned the rub.
In division, man. Yeah, like, yeah. And teams typically don't want to help. I mean, there's two things that I think would preclude a team from working with another one. One is if you are both in conference and trying to win,
mm-hmm.
right? So that team becomes your competition at the playoff level, and you are helping them go on that way.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here. But in division, sometimes there's just basic hatred, right? Sometimes there is, I don't want to help that team because I don't want to help that team. Plus, you have not seen them once yet this season, right? So you have two games against them. And I understand that they're probably in a place, they're definitely in a place, if we're going to be completely honest, where contention isn't a part of that. But how about just good old-fashioned spite and hate might stop them from doing
especially
that?
Especially between these organizations.
Precisely.
You know who your owner hates, and you know who the Texans, part of the Texans ownership hates, at least, and that is each other with the Tennessee Titans, which I love, not a passing judgment because I love it, but this is business, you know, business is business, and they're done. The Titans aren't going anywhere. They can get, again, this is a Nick Caserio, well, I'll give you a sixth, you know, kind of those margins that he works, and here's the other part. If they don't make a deal for a guard, Reggie, your two best backups today going into Thursday night's game are tackles. That's Broker, who's played a little guard maybe, Nick Broker, and Fisher.
Blake Fisher.
So what are you going to do? I mean, are you a team that is, quote, going for it or not?
That's interesting. I do wonder also what the premium is for that player if you go get him, because it does feel like that is just the place where you absolutely you need help. That feels like that's been the weakest part of your team, in part because you can maybe point to some depth in some other places, which I think we do need to talk about in the course of this. But when it comes down to it, the offense has not lived up to his expectation. It feels like anytime we talk about that, we end up talking about the offensive line. Mm-hmm. So I hear you on that, and I think that this could be interesting, even if it's not this guy in particular, although I don't know what other guy would be there. But that's Nick Caserio's, I guess, burden, for lack of a better term, to bear in the course of this week, is trying to address that, I imagine.
Where else?
I think what was interesting, because I came to this conversation, or to this, I guess, discussion, thinking, what are some of the other, if Nick Caserio was to make some moves, what are some of the guys that they go and try and get? And someone mentioned Zach Martin. He's older. I don't know that the Cowboys are in a place where they're willing to acknowledge the place that they're in, as evidenced by the owner getting out there and losing it on the local radio station, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cornerback. Cornerback is one of those places where it feels like there's some guys out there that are available and maybe could be had if you are willing to give up some level of capital. One of those, Greg Newsome, the second, for Cleveland. Now, how much does their outlook shift with Jameis Winston coming in there and looking like he can actually play football with them?
Right. There are some linebackers. There's some cornerbacks. I've been kind of digging on this here and there, but really – a lot of these players are going to be probably expecting more capital in return, and is that going to be a player that you're going to be able to just, you know, slot right in?
I think that there might be one that you might have an opportunity at, but I do wonder how strongly you feel about him.
And that is?
Brandon Echols,
mm-hmm.
who is a depth cornerback for a team with good corners, mind you, or depth nickelback, in fact, with a team with good corners. It is the team that you're facing on Thursday, the New York Jets. Now, sometimes these types of get-togethers, and I think this happens more in basketball, but sometimes when the general manager are in the same place,
it happens. Yeah.
They have an opportunity to talk in a you know, unencumbered way, where you're not just texting and talking over the phone, where you're talking face-to-face, so you can kind of get some things done. Would that be interesting for a guy who was a sixth-round pick in 21, you know, a decent kind of nickelback guy, especially because I don't think that your moves are at the top end of this.
Yeah.
Your moves are depth-wise and to give you more pieces and more options if you need somebody to fill in at certain places or cover. And I also, if I remember correctly, Echols does not have a lot of, is not a long-term commitment. They picked up his fifth-year option, so it'd be the end of this year, and he would have, you would have control over him in next season as well.
That is absolutely one that would fit the profile, so to speak, of Nick Caserio, and one where they need help. I mean, I know we were just talking today about this secondary overall, not just cornerbacks, have clearly, sort of surprised and played well. But again, you know, for a team that is in contention, and you're 6-2, you literally have the number 2 seed in the AFC. These are the types of moves you at least kick the tires on.
So I think that if we see anything, my best guess is that you see maybe Nick Caserio pull off something magical with an offensive lineman. That's clearly a position in need, but I'm not holding out hope for that just because of the nature of trading for a lineman in this mm-hmm. league. But maybe depth at cornerback is high up there. I think possibly safety, but I'm not certain exactly where they go with that. Linebacker, I've kind of moved away from Devin White.
But Devin White, let's see. But you still have Christian Harris out. You still have...
Well, I guess. Here I am still hopeful that Christian Harris actually makes his way back at some point. I don't know if anybody asked us this week, but... We still haven't heard anything about Christian Harris again. Maybe we'll hear that as
any news on Christian Harris.
Right. Yeah, that is the constant refrain on the 5-hour energy text line. But we haven't gotten anything. Maybe we hear something today as D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud will talk to the media. D'Amico Ryans here in about 10 minutes, in fact. Yeah. But at the trade deadline, it'll be real interesting to see what Nick Caserio is capable of doing, if anything at all. Because one of the things that he talks about, right, and of course, this is with the pass catchers where I think you have plenty of them. You know, who is available? Go out and do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And the depth that they've built in a lot of places on this team, I think is capable of doing the job.
Might get some on Diggs as well.
Maybe. Hopefully so. Hopefully we get to learn a little bit about what's happening with Diggs. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time for us to get to our lunchtime confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
Well, finally happened.
Okay.
You got put out the house for that rat.
No update on that.
Oh, man.
No update on that. But
really?
I'm still pretty nervous. Yeah, really.
She's going to make him wait.
Yes, that's the worst part.
That's her getting her revenge, is making
him
wait
to
know.
The best way to get back at someone. Make him look over their shoulder constantly. Mm-hmm. No. Seth Payne got old.
You sure?
I didn't think he was. I didn't consider. He's younger than me.
Now, what's old? What's considered old?
Let me tell you. Let me describe old to you. So I'm walking down this hallway before our show today, okay? And they're still doing their show in the morning. And Seth Payne is walking down the hall the other way, you know, going wherever. And he's wearing shorts and tennis shoes and tube socks pulled all the way past his calf. Seth, when did Seth Payne start doing that? Who does? I never, ever want to be the guy that's wearing shorts, tennis shoes, and tube socks pulled up past your calf.
Are you about to get the Uno reverse, sir? No, you are old, because that is what's popping in these streets.
No,
with the youth.
But not for 40 somethings.
That's a fashion statement, man.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll tell you that the youths be looking at, particularly us millennials, kind of crazy. Millennials. Wearing all these, like, you know, ankle socks or whatever.
Yeah. White tube socks. By the way, white tube socks.
Exactly.
Pulled over your calf.
Mm-hmm.
With, like,
that's
shorts,
the game, man.
And tennis shoes.
You wear the tube socks or the crew socks or whatever.
So you wear that all the time?
I don't. I didn't say
Figgy,
I was
you
hip.
Wear that all the time?
Nah.
Okay.
Once in a while.
I didn't say I was hip.
Figgy can get away with it.
I would believe that Seth Payne did the appropriate research to find out what was hiding these streets.
I would think you were wrong.
And I think that he is just on the cusp.
So you're saying he's cutting edge?
He's a trendsetter.
Yeah, man. My man listening to Glorilla. So it don't
he's
shock
He's a Glorilla
me.
Connoisseur.
Yeah.
Because it's 7 p.m. Friday.
95 degrees.
Don't finish that. I mean, don't say the next lyric, Lopez.
It pains me to say it, but I'm like, well, damn, they got Seth. They got Seth.
And the they is the you.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I think I have a little bit of shame about my decision that I made yesterday.
And that
so,
is?
It's not. I did go vote, but it's not that.
I feel guilty about it.
But then afterwards, our boss actually had been saying that, hey, one of these spots, and they not paying me, so I'm not saying, mm-hmm. is having like a discount on the burritos. I was like, psh,
okay,
cheaper burrito.
Yeah,
let me get that. Mm-hmm. So I went, got me a burrito, got me a brownie, had that,
mm-hmm.
had a good time, finished it. And I was like, man, that was real good. Was hanging out about 4 hours later, and I was like,
not as good.
Get another burrito.
Oh, okay.
Is it weird to go to the same spot 4 hours between and get the same order again?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I did that and I was like, this feels like there. I should have some shame here for doing this. Like this,
that is a good question. Like you went, you ordered it, or you ate it there, whatever.
I ordered it, brought it home, ate.
Then you went back.
And I went back.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah,
I think, but if you're starving and you loved it,
yeah. I mean, look, ain't no, don't be ashamed of that, man.
Yeah,
I felt like, yeah. See, 832 knows the high schoolers do the socks, or
okay,
or do they go to the same spot multiple times?
Is Seth Payne in high school?
I doubt it. I would hope not. Actually, I really would hope not. Where is he finding the time if he is? That's the question I have. But yeah, definitely ate the same burrito twice, 4 hours apart.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So I had my first meal, my first day out meal yesterday.
Not the first day out.
First day out meal yesterday after the show. And I don't know how to feel about that. I felt like I just went all the way out there with this, man.
All right, hit me.
I went and got sushi.
Okay.
I've been having a taste for some sushi.
Well, you jumped in the deep end.
No, you know why he went and got, you know why he went and got sushi? Because he had some FOMO going after we had sushi in the press box on Sunday.
Oh, I was so pissed off, man. I felt like every doggone media member was tweeting about some doggone sushi in the press box.
Not only were they tweeting about it, they were talking about it in there. I heard multiple people were like, oh man, Houston Texans now got the best press box foods.
I'm like, man, I'm like, who gives a damn about what y'all eating? The people can't have that.
Yeah.
But so I had some sushi and I felt like I was good. I'm a little basic B when it comes to sushi.
Yeah.
Like, California Rose is
that's fine.
That's fine with me. I tried to get a little exotic, man. I got the spicy salmon roll. That's where I felt like I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm all the way good now because I start getting that gag reflex.
Oh.
I started getting that gag reflex and I was just like, I'm like, man, maybe I need to stay away. Maybe that's too raw.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
You had that FOMO, man.
Yeah, but yeah.
Uh-oh.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Multiple outlets reporting Tom Pelissero, Aaron Wilson, Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs, tore his ACL and is out for the season per multiple reports.
Okay, so the optimism that I was trying to peddle earlier, kaput. It's a moot point as Stephon Diggs has in fact torn his ACL. You have seen the last of him this year. Man, that's tough to hear. I think we had already started trying to prepare ourselves for this, but still, it's hard to have that finality of it. He has indeed torn his ACL. I think it's like 70% of the time when you had that non-contact injury in that same way, that is a torn ACL, and this is not unlike any of those other circumstances. So the task now falls to Tank Dell. Dalton Schultz, Xavier Hutchinson, John Mechie, Robert Woods. Those are the guys that are going to lead the charge on Thursday in particular And I think that puts more of a highlight on, one, when Nico Collins returns, and two, what happens as we head up to the trade deadline.
I also think it makes it puts a big pressure, a lot of pressure on D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio. How are you going to react? Are we good? Have we seen enough in practice and certainly in the last game? And we just talked about in the last segment. I mean, you are a contending team by definition, 6-2, number two seed in the AFC.
Tied with the Steelers.
but there are, you are in the hunt. What have they seen to prove or maybe, you know, get them pointed in the direction of making some sort of accommodation, some sort of move for this?
Yeah, I still lean towards the idea that you have the guys. Now, of course, that's provided that Nico Collins is on track and will make his way back. And we've heard some level of reporting. I think Aaron Wilson was the guy that was saying that, hey, man, this is trending well for Nico Collins. We'll see, right? Like, we already have enough reason to be jaded on the injured reserve, the guy coming back off the injured reserve, or when he's available to not necessarily making it back. I'm not trying to put that out there, just saying that to be responsible in the way that we talk about this, we have to consider that. However, if Nico Collins is back, I'm still good with Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and if you want to put Mechie there, if you want to put Hutchison there, I'm good with that rollout. That was a lineup that was good enough to handle what you were doing last year, especially when you consider, like, imagine last year's team plus Joe Mixon.
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
I don't disagree, but boy, this is, you know, talk about why they get the big bucks, because, you know, is what you're getting out of Nico. What is, first of all, how good is Nico Collins going to be health-wise when he comes back? You got to presume well after sitting on the IR and all that stuff. But also what you're getting out of Tank Dell, what you're getting out of these other guys. Hutchinson and Mechie have come up, well, especially Hutchinson, with key moments. But has that been enough to carry you, or is Joe Mixon factor? Is the Joe Mixon factor something that will carry you more? Officially, if you didn't hear earlier, Stephon Diggs has torn his ACL and is done for the season.
Interesting how so many people are going to that place where, first of all, on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 314, yikes, second round pick down the drain. I wouldn't say that. It is. I think we had that conversation of does this this possibility, right, of him being out for the season, does that make you regret the trade? And I think that all of us came to the same conclusion, which was no.
This is just an unfortunate injury.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it had anything to do like, oh, that's down the drain or anything like that.
And he's done a lot in these seven games.
Especially once you lost Nico Collins for 4 weeks.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
He stepped up and became that target point that you were looking at. Somebody said from the 314 or another one from the 281, now you have to go get a wide receiver for depth's sake. And I don't think so. Like, you have depth on this team, right?
Yeah.
You can count five wide receivers that are of a solid quality, right? Obviously, if Nico Collins is available, one. Tank Dell, two. Mechie, Hutchison, Woods. Teams would be happy to have those five as a five, right?
There's a yes, you know, but to me, I can see it happening either way. I'm not saying I'm advocating either way, because I'm with you.
Someone like a Adam Thielen or Deontay Johnson?
Well, here's the thing: when you are a contending team, this is an old adage, but when you are a contending team, your job as a head coach and a general manager is to do everything possible to get to that championship level. So they have to ask themselves: is staying pat and moving maybe in the offensive line direction for a trade or somewhere else for a trade, is that doing everything possible to get us into a position to win a championship? Or should we go for a wide receiver for you know, at whatever level wide receiver it is? Like you said, maybe a Thielen or something along those lines. Big moment of the season right now for the Houston Texans. By the way, unrelated but kind of related, the Colts officially have benched Anthony Richardson and are going to start Joe Flacco.
So not only did they make,
that's actually pretty wild.
Yeah.
Man.
Not only did they make him tap out for a play, they also got him fired in a way.
Yep.
So shout out to the defensive line and all those things. But
that could be a game changer right there, man. I think the division is over, but
correct.
They can still be lurking with a decent quarterback.
Yeah.
So yeah.
A lot of news, baby.
A lot of news. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. But also, it's time for college football on a Tuesday. So we'll try and balance all of those things next on Sports Radio 610.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Ennis. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Yeah, the news of the moment is that we finally got some clarity into the Stephon Diggs injury situation. And go ahead and cover your ears if you don't want bad noise.
Warning, graphic.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be graphic, but it's not going to make you feel good, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I am not bearing good news. Wide receiver, Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs did indeed suffer a season-ending injury to his knee. It is a torn ACL, and thus his season has come to a close. He will not play again for the remainder of the season. An ACL, typically, what, a 9 to 12 month kind of situation. So that's going to be interesting to see what the implications are for, you know, him playing next year, because his deal was reworked to where this was the final year of his deal. He will be a free agent at the end of the season. And so there's a lot of ramifications there. But just remembering the human himself, D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the team, who was talking, he might have just finished up talking, said that Stephon has brought more to our team than I can explain, saying it's definitely a blow to us. He's hurting. We'll get you more of that audio here shortly. But yeah, just what your first thoughts upon finding out, John, that Stephon Diggs will indeed be done for the season?
Well, outside of the here and now, I think he's been extremely valuable to this team, especially with Nico out, especially, just being consistent. Can you replace his production? His production hasn't been off the charts. So ostensibly, you could replace the production. But it's been consistent, and as you just outlined, and you are going to hear from D'Amico Ryans here pretty soon, right here on these airwaves, what he's brought is a lot. But then I'm not waffling, I promise. I'm truly trying to determine which direction would be the smartest. Obviously, offensive line needs help. It's not a lot of help that's out there.
Oh, in regards to the are they fast gonna make coming a move?
Yeah.
Trade deadline that's literally next Tuesday,
one
November
week 5th. From today. And as you and I were talking about this still during the break, let's bring it to air. You know, they have weapons. Weapons is not an issue. Do they have something that'll take them to another level? Tank Dell, we know what he can do, but only until after Stephon Diggs was hurt did he really start to really sort of look like the old Tank Dell this past Sunday. Xavier Hutchinson has contributed. Has he been a consistent contributor in his 2 years, the last 2 years? No.
When needed to step up.
He has, but, I mean, a catch here, two catches there.
Okay.
Is that going to get you where you want to go? That's where I'm torn on this. Like, it's a luxury to have three stud wide receivers like the Texans came into the season.
That's the place that I sit at, and maybe, I don't know. Like, I think that being close to this, you almost get to a point where this is what you need, and maybe also this is an indictment on the offense and all the people involved. I don't need to name the principals. You know who we're talking about, right? That they have not been able to do more offensively with all this talent. But the fact of the matter is that there still has been a lot of talent here, and I almost feel like that parent looking at the kid who's asking for something else for Christmas was like, you got all these other toys. You have a veteran wide receiver.
There's a whole
Robert
box
Woods.
Over there.
You ain't touched Robert Woods since last Christmas. Right? Robert Woods over there sad, waiting for Andy to come play with him. Right? Yeah. You got a whole Robert Woods over there that you're not using. Right? You have, obviously, you mentioned Tank. You have John Metchie, who you've been trying to figure out what he's capable of giving it to you. And I know that there's been moments, where, especially in his past, but as we've detailed over a long period of time, there's been a lot of reasons why you've had to kind of give it time, whether it's him dealing with cancer or a knee injury and those types of things. Now he is healthy, and in preseason you got to see a little spark. And at the end of this past game against the Colts, you got to see a little spark. Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity to see that. Like, you have a lot of guys, and I understand the question of at the top end, do you have a ton? But I don't know that. I think there's also something to be concerned with. And let me take this all the way back. Does this feel like you have to shoot your entire shot right now? Because I think that also will dictate some of this, right? Does this feel like future trade capital be damned? Let's go and F them picks in some ways and make sure that we get to that place in this. Or is this something where you have to consider that you have a lot of, a lot of veterans that are on short term deals, and maybe some of that draft capital helps you continue to build, because you're simultaneously early on in the development curve of this Texas team, yeah. But also, you have to consider replacing certain people or maybe just getting them re-signed up for the future. And I don't know that a ton of free agents is a sustainable way of building a team, especially if you want to have a long window, which it feels like you should be able to have with C.J. Stroud at the peak of his powers.
But here's the thing. C.J. Stroud isn't going anywhere.
Correct.
And so you have that, all right? And then I think that the number one question the Texans have to ask themselves right now, today, like literally right now, is are we going for it or not? Because, yes, it was a luxury to have, you know, the three big wide receivers, the five-headed monster that C.J. Stroud talked about. But teams that are contenders have that. Teams that are contenders don't have, well, maybe Mechie. Well, maybe Xavier Hutchinson. We've seen a little bit here and there. No, they have the proven commodities that can take you to another level. So that's why I'm kind of going back and forth, because the other part of this, all the other teams in the conference are making additions. They're getting better.
The
Bills have added.
But they also started from a place significantly behind where you are currently. Plus, if you're talking about are we going to win, there's other places where you can go all in.
No, I don't disagree.
And we've talked about that. Yeah. Cornerback, offensive line, even though I consistently add the caveat that I'm not certain how feasible it is to make those kind of additions in the season. But there's clearly places where you actually have depth issues. I don't think that this is actually a depth issue for you here.
But again, what you know,
it could be with more injuries.
What you know versus what you think. Okay. You know, you think on Xavier Hutchinson, and it could be right. You think on John Mechie after one game, when really his entire career has not been much. You think, Robert Woods might be Mr. Consistency, but is that going to get you over the top? Again, I'm not saying do this or don't do that.
But all those are depth issues. All those are depth pieces as well.
Depth pieces, but are they going to take you there?
People that you would be trusting to take you there would be Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, and of course, once he returns, Nico Collins.
Right.
Those are the guys, and Joe Mixon, right? You talked about five-headed monster. In theory, at some point in the season, you will still have four of those heads of the monster.
Joe Mixon is a wild card in terms of making your decision, because he's really the MVP if you just look at the entirety of the season thus far. So, maybe that would be something that could make you lean toward, no, we're not going to do anything. But again, you have a franchise quarterback that is an elite quarterback. Other elite quarterbacks are getting equipped with Amari Cooper and DeAndre Hopkins. Not necessarily Stephon Diggs, but those pieces that can maybe get them over the top. Meanwhile, you lost a piece. You got anything, Figgy?
Yeah, no, I was thinking. I'm kind of torn between this, too, because at the very beginning, I didn't think about losing any of these guys like this.
Yeah.
Where now I got to make a big-time trade to get another receiver. So I think I can see Nick Caserio making a smaller type of receiver move. Like, I seen somebody on the YouTube say Deontay Johnson. I don't know if that's a big time move or not. Like, I don't know how much you would give up to get somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got to roll with what you got right now, man.
Yeah, and I mean,
especially you got somebody like a Schultz, and you got some pieces. But I just think you got to roll with the pieces you got now.
And I'm adding more kind of question marks that you have on the team. But then you still have a tight end like Kate Stover involved here, that he has not had a lot of room. Like, some of this, you also wonder, like, the reason why you have questions about some of these guys is because they've not had the room to show you.
To flourish. Right. No, I get it. I have my doubts on Mechie, even though, credit, is due. I think Tank Dell could be that guy. I think he could flourish. He showed flashes of it already. But, man, it's a tough decision, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad decision to look at a wide receiver.
And I think this is where the experience of seeing all these guys in practice is going to be very helpful, because we are only limited to what we get to see in games, really, in preseason and training camp, those types of things. These coaches, these particularly Caserio, you could tell how hands-on he is when he's breaking down literally every game and all these things. Coaches and scouts get an opportunity to see these guys all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be really insightful into these other depth pieces, what they start doing. If you start hearing chatter about them, although they typically play it kind of close to the vest, yeah. If you start hearing chatter about them looking to acquire a wide receiver, maybe that is an indictment of those other guys. But for all intents and purposes, it feels like this team has been high on all these guys. We just played the Casario Cup where you talked about Hutchinson and Mechie and Stover and Schultz and the ways in which they believe, at the very least for this Thursday game, and those guys' ability to step up. I don't personally believe that shifts over the course of the remaining nine games of this regular season plus postseason play that this Texas team will be involved in.
I think the good thing is they play Thursday night and they can see how the team will look with this receiver core. And if they feel like it's an issue, they got a little time to try to make
they
a move.
They have 10 days between the next between
not
games.
Like, it's not like waiting until Sunday.
But not just 10 days. It'd be 5 days till to the deadline.
I'm talking about after Thursday night's game. Yeah. They're going to have a nice break there to sort of evaluate, make a decision, make a move if they want to. The other part of this that's interesting to me is, Stephon Diggs was very, very rapidly got really close with C.J. Stroud. And that's on the field and off. And on the field, when C.J. Stroud is on the move, Reggie, he was looking at Nico and Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those guys is gone, and the other guy is going to be back in a couple of weeks. So, can you rely on Xavier Hutchinson? Can you rely on Dalton Schultz?
Well, I think that's where you lean on Sunday, and maybe it was fortuitous that you saw him really lock in with Dalton Schultz early, and then you can lean back on the idea, and we've talked about this before, we'll see how effective it actually becomes in practice this season. Last year, who was his confidant when it came to finding somebody in broken plays? It was Tank Dell, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys, there is a rapport there, and it seems like CJ does a great job of having a rapport with all of these guys. I think that it becomes a lot clearer that, hey, man, those guys are now someone that you need to lean on, particularly in this Jets game and possibly beyond. So, again, if you are just tuning in, the news of the hour and the news of the moment is that Stephon Diggs is indeed lost for the remainder of the season with an ACL tear. Someone on the YouTube cleaning us up, ACL 6 to 9 months maybe.
I think it depends.
It really depends on the person. Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I hope that Stephon Diggs is a lot more like Adrian Peterson, where it's just he heals up real quick, and all of a sudden he is back playing in the same season after an ACL tear. So, yeah, no, that is the hope. But unfortunately, the reality of the situation, the news of the situation, is that Stephon Diggs is expected to be out for the remainder of the season with an ACL tear. What they do from here on out, That is the conversation, right? And we have people all up and down the 5-hour energy fan line. 281, roll with what you got. QB seems to have chemistry with Hutch and fix the inside of the old line. 832, to my tight ends comment, well, the tight ends are busy trying to block. And then a lot of people pointing to the idea that Thursday night should help you determine whether you should go after a wide out.
Was talking about you haven't had the consistent production from the two guys that we've mentioned the most, Xavier Hutchinson and John Mechie. John Mechie especially. Confidence in Nico, we'll see when he gets back. Confidence obviously in Tank. Beyond that, I mean, is that a championship level receiving core, especially when your offensive line is the way it is and your quarterback is on the run? I don't know. I wish I had a better answer.
We will see first.
Yeah, there's still plenty of time to talk about it, and the place to hear people talk about this and more with your text is right here on Sports Radio 610. In fact, coming up next on In the Loop, let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of this team, DeMeco Ryans, as he talked a little bit earlier, obviously giving us the news that that Stephon Diggs is out for the remainder of the season. Let's hear what else he talked about next on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.